Okay, so a lot of us, we grew up on Walt Disney, didn't we? Well, I just showed the children, here's a glimpse of that. We have stories like Rapunzel and Beauty and the Beast, and we all grew up listening to those stories. And of course, we all know that they're stories about good and evil, the fight against the evil forces, and then of course it always ends in a romantic ending that we can live happily ever after. Of course, now we know that that's fantasy, that's not real. But it is and it isn't. Because it can be a reality. It can be a reality because of what the Lord has wonderfully done for us in our lives. And I want to talk about that reality this morning. Life has troubles, doesn't it? It has sorrows, it has persecutions, it's pain. Life is pain, but that's a fact of life. But amidst all that pain, that suffering, and those trials, you can still live happily ever after for a wonderful and great reason. So if we look at Psalm 19, and Psalm 19 is actually what we call it David's pocketbook. Because he carried it everywhere with him. And the verses that we're going to look at this morning is verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Now, first thing we notice here is that there is a question. The question is, how can a young man keep his way pure? And then there's the answer. The answer, by living according to your word. Now, the first thing is, it's always good to ask questions, isn't it? It's always good to ask questions. And we always have to start in the right place. There was an Irishman in Ireland, and someone said, how do I get to Dublin? And the Irishman said, well, if I was going to go to Dublin, I wouldn't start from here. So we have to start in the right place. And we have to start with the right attitude. Okay, how does a young man keep his way pure? And of course, a way is spoken of here. So how does a young man keep his way pure? And we use that word way, the phrase way, a lot in our daily lives, don't we? Normally, the way when we're driving, men are driving in the car and they don't like asking directions. And the wife will say, do you know the way? You know which way you're going? And the husband will say, yeah, I know which way we're going. And of course, then 10 minutes later, he's lost. So, the way. But David, actually, he's talking about God's way. He's talking about the way, Christ's way. And the early Christians, they were called followers of the way, weren't they? If we turn to Acts chapter 24... Chapter 24, verse 14. I should have had my phone in the place. Sorry. 24 and verse 14. However, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way. So they were followers of the way. And of course, this way is a very precious way because it is in the Lord Jesus. Now, we go back to our verse and it says, how does a young man keep his way pure? And the other word we're looking at then is keep. He says, keep his way pure. And the implication there is that they're already believers, the people he's talking to. They're already believers. So, then he wants them to go on in the way, doesn't he? He wants them to continue in the way. So, then there's a good question to us. Have we given our way to the Lord? Have we committed our way to the Lord? Have we asked him? Have we sought him? Have we found him? That's a great question to us this morning. So, if you haven't committed yourself to the Lord, start right and go on right. That's what David is saying here. So we need to start well, we need to start right, and we need to go on right. And you know, for believers, You are said, oh sorry, you are saved by grace, aren't you? The grace of God is a wonderful thing that we've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then back to the word keep then. Why keep? Well, there are all kinds of diversions in life, aren't they? Problems in life. John Bunyan, he wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, which we know very well. And of course, in the process of that work, he writes about the way, the path alongside, called Bypath Meadow. And of course, Bypath Meadow, it looks easier. It looks a lot more wider. The grass looks lusher, looks greener, looks a pleasant way. But of course, it turns out to be a distressful way, because that way leads to Doubting Castle and giant despair, doesn't it? And of course, it doesn't lead to happiness. Now, again, we can look at the situation of the car, and if we see a road that says diversion, we follow that diversion, and sometimes it can end in a dead end. We don't know where we're going. We've done that quite a lot. So we need to follow the way. Follow the way. And life is full of problems, isn't it? It's full of diversions that we need to avoid. You know, when I was young, we went for a holiday in Scotland. And right up the coast near Cape Roth, it was a very beautiful place, an unspoilt place. And we got out, we walked along the trail. It's one of these places, Lisa and I like watching Escape to the Country. I think pretty all of us like to watch Escape to the Country, because secretly we love to escape to the country. With you know, a nice old English farmhouse with acres of land. it's all the dream. But this was a beautiful place. And we walked along the path, what seemed to be a lovely path, and we ended up in a bog. So we turned round, we went back, we went to another path, that ended in a bog as well. And then we turned back and we followed these signs. We got to the end of the path and it said, "Beware quicksand." So life can be like that, can't it? It can be full of wrong paths. It can be full of cul-de-sacs. It can be full of distractions. And distractions are really, really problematic. They can be things that we wouldn't even think about. We can think of our hobbies. My hobby of cars, well, Lisa would probably disagree with you, but believe it or not, it used to be a lot worse. The hobby of cars, I used to live it night and day, used to spend a lot of money. And of course, that's the problem, isn't it, when we take our hobbies too far. And the other distraction, I mean, there are plenty of distractions. Hobbies is just one, but families can be another. Families can be a distraction. They are, obviously, a gift from the Lord, but there is a danger that we can put them first before the Lord, and we should never do that, should we? We should put the Lord first. So let's put the Lord first in our lives. Other distractions, things that are thrown in our path. Earlier this year we had serious floods, didn't we, on the south coast, and Dorset was one that was hit very hard. And I remember driving down there and thinking, wow, how on earth are we going to get through Dorset? I was driving past the lower road down by Chesil Beach, beautiful area. I came to the road and it said, road closed ahead. And I didn't follow the signs, I just carried on going, and I got to a big lake in the road. So that's what it can be like, can't it? The road can be swallowed up in front of us. So we have to be careful. And the blocking of the way can happen in life, so we have to be careful. When our sin is always getting in the way, the world can throw things at us. I don't know if you remember, there used to be a program when I was a kid called Takeshi's Castle. No, don't remember Takeshi's Castle? Yeah, Anna's shaking her head. Yeah, it was about these the Japanese assault courses. Great fun. And there used to be assault courses that these people had to try and get through. And there was one assault course called the Wobbly Bridge. I remember that. And these guys had to try and balance on this bridge and try and walk along it while they were being projectile cannons, these balls being projectiled at them. And most of the time, 8 out of 10 times, they would normally get hit and normally get knocked off. So we have to be careful in our lives, don't we? And of course, the other problem we have is because we're in the flesh, we create our own problems. Because we're in the flesh, we do create our own problems. And then, of course, the devil can throw things at us as well. The devil is sly and he can throw things at us. We have that serious enemy in the devil. So we have to be careful then, don't we? We have to keep our way pure. So the other thing we have to look at, and it's very vital to us, is we must always have good spirits and never fall into bad spirits. So I remember, it's quite a funny story, I remember Mum and Dad telling it to me when they were first married and Dad was in Bible college. They had a very, very small flat, and times were tough and they used to get the shopping in. And one night they went to bed, and Mum had in the back of her mind that she'd left a cabbage in the boot of the car. And of course Dad was extremely shattered, and he said, "Leave it, it's fine." And of course they had an argument over a cabbage. And we can have arguments over little silly trivial things. And of course when they woke up in the morning, the cabbage was rotten anyway. So, but we must have good spirits, can't we? We need to have good spirits. I always remember that story. So we need to pray for grace that might be so. We must pray for grace that we have good spirits and always keep close to the Lord. Love the Lord. Okay, and then he goes on then, and what does he do? He gives us the direction then. So what's the answer? How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And of course, if you know the Lord Jesus and you know the Christian life, the simple thing is to live it. Live the Lord Jesus' life. Live it. Practice what you preach. Work it out. It's a vital thing. And Jesus prayed to the disciples, didn't he? In John 17, we turn to John. John 17 and verse 17. The Lord Jesus says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So the word is truth, isn't it? The word is truth. And the word is a great cleaning agent. When you go out to work, you don't go out without having a shower, do you? No, I certainly don't. Because if we don't go out without having a shower, it normally gives us an odour of the wrong kind. So we need to have a shower. We need to take a bath. So in a sense, we need to take a bath spiritually. From day to day, we need to bath ourselves in the Word. So come to the Lord. Love the Word. Don't miss a day. Because even if we miss a day, we can struggle. We can fall into traps. We can fall into temptations. Wash, as it were, in the pure waters of the Word. And a wonderful picture there is Psalm 1. If we turn back to the Psalms and we look at Psalm 1. And there's a lovely picture there in the first few verses. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." And here is the picture. "He is like a tree planted by streams of water." Wonderful picture. "Which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Isn't that wonderful? So we should be a tree planted by streams of water. And the other picture I have in my head is, you know, we go to these pharmacies, we go to these perfume shops, don't we? And wow, what a selection, you know. You've got Lacoste. I'm known for loving I do like Lacoste. I buy it for my wife often as well. But you've got Calvin Klein, Gucci, and all these lovely, wonderful fragrances to make you smell good. What a choice. So in a sense, the word should be our perfume. Should be our perfume, shouldn't it? Cover ourselves with the perfume of the word. Christians should be fragrant people. They should smell good. They should be attractive people. And you are attractive and fragrant as you live according to the word. Now, that's the vital thing. There's so many other things talk about. I love the image when you're speaking of the word. The hymn writer says, "It is the golden casket where gems of truth are stored." It's the golden casket where gems of truth are stored. It's a lovely picture, isn't it? Just imagine the Pirates of the Caribbean, and the pirates want their treasure. They want it badly because the gems are so lovely, and the gold is shiny. You know, it's very beautiful. And hence the word should be wonderful to us. It is a wonderful treasure, this book. Wonderful treasure. It's a wonderful thing to actually read it and enjoy it. David said it's the honey. We need to meditate on it day and night. He meditated on it day and night. I mean, that should be a real lesson to us. We really don't read it as we should. Meditate day and night. Wonderful. Soak yourself in it. Now, I remember we used to holiday in the French Alps, the Swiss Alps quite a lot, and I love fishing. We love fishing a little bit too much, and as a boy, I was pretending to fish with my stick and my bit of line and my cork, used to be able to hit the fish over the head with. And one day, I was sat by the lakeside with my fishing rod, and the bank gave way, and in I went, and I got drenched. I got soaked to the skin. Hence, we need to drench ourselves in the Word of God. And another picture there is I went canoeing. And we'll tell you this story. I went canoeing last month, and we went canoeing the River Medway. Depends if you want to fall in or not. I wouldn't swallow the water if I were you. Probably be ill for a few weeks. But we came to this weir, and there's a canoe launch, a ramp, a flume. That's the right word, isn't it? A flume. And I was coming up to this flume, and I came in at the wrong angle, and in I went. And it was freezing, absolutely freezing. It took my breath away. And it felt, because it was so cold, it felt like someone was stabbing you in the heart. Oh, nightmare. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And of course, you know me, I hate the cold. Just like Dad, I don't like the cold. Hence, the word of the Lord should be like that to us, shouldn't it? It should be stabbing us in the heart. It should be really lighting a fire in us. So, in again, a good sense, then, soak yourself. Because it is a wonderful book, and you find delight in it every day through your life. It is the word that strengthens you, doesn't it? Isn't it? It builds up and gives you spiritual muscle. Now, these days, I don't know, Mash likes pumping iron. I used to like pumping iron when I was a lad. Of course, these days, a lot of people, they like doing that. But spiritually, we need to do that, don't we? Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It gives you wisdom to face troubles in life, this wonderful book. Okay, you're going to have troubles, you're going to face troubles, you're going to face problems in the Christian life. We know the road is never easy. When I was baptised, I remember the weeks afterwards were such a struggle. The devil was on me all the time with different things. And every problem has its answer in this wonderful book. So if you read it, you will find the answer. It's the principle. Go to Scripture. Look for the principle. Another, I think it was a Puritan, said this: "God's word is the mirror that shows all spiritual deformity, and also the water and the soap that washes and scours it away." That's a wonderful picture, and that's so, isn't it? It shows us what we are like by nature, and washing us, I mean, some dirty pans need scouring, don't they? So, in a spiritual sense, give yourself a good scrub. Scrub away. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and chapter 4. Oh, place. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. Verse 12, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. That's a wonderful lesson, isn't it? Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in love, in faith and in purity. But spiritually, if we are young, don't let anyone look down on us. Read the scriptures, look into them, and then turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1. Verse 22 and 23. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Wonderful verses. Let me read that again. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Wonderful. And of course, you know, we need to really look at ourselves. We need to search ourselves, and we need to read this book, listen to its words. Remember that we have to watch and obey it. That's the vital thing, to watch and obey it. Pray over it and pray with care. Pray with care. So often we can get distracted and we don't pray as we should. And we don't really pray. We don't come to the Lord as we ought to. I can speak for myself. Prayer and carelessness never walked hand in hand. Prayer and carelessness never walked hand in hand. So put Christ in the centre of our hearts. And we're reminded of that. Pastor Paul, he preached on it a few weeks ago, didn't he? In 1 John 5. And in 1 John 5, it said in verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who has the Son has life. And we really need to love those words. We need to think on those words. Because the Lord Jesus, he is life. And without the Lord Jesus, there is no life. The Son gives us our light. He gives us our radiance. He gives us our hope. We have hope in the Son. The big Son. The big S-O-N. Not the S-U-N. Dear Lord, bless us. And then again, we look at those other words, he who does not have the Son does not have life. So please, if you're not in the Son this morning, then come to him. Love Christ. It is the most important and vital thing. Have the Lord Jesus live with you. Have the Lord Jesus live with you. Amen. Let's come to our final hymn. And we're going to sing a song, a hymn from John Bunyan, and it is about the pilgrim life. The pilgrim life, and it's 788, hymn 788.